Cadencopia acknowledges the traditional owners of the land that this podcast was recorded and produced on, the Wurundjeri and Boonwurrung peoples of the East Kulin Nations. We pay our respect to their elders, past, present, and emerging, and we extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples. Come behind the scenes of the Australian media landscape from a leading public relations perspective. I'm Marissa Jane, and this is the Press Office with Kate Copia. On today's episode of The Press Office, I am chatting to Bessie Kay, a former professional dancer and TV producer and the now founder of Abundance the Movement. Bessie's career has taken her in many different directions, and along the way, she has found the importance of finding work aligned with your values and your sense of self. I am really looking forward to this conversation because I think it's a really important topic for young professionals who are navigating their careers. So firstly, welcome to the podcast, Bessie.
Oh, thank you so much, Marissa. This is so cool. I'm absolutely honoured to be here today.
So from being a professional dancer to a media professional and then moving back into your passion of dance, can you talk to me about how you got to where you are today, starting Abundance the Movement?
Okay, it sounds like a whole merry-go-round, doesn't it, when you say it like that? But it was actually just my authentic walk, and I think it just took me a little longer to wake up than the average Joe. But I did start my career as a professional dancer, so I grew up in regional Victoria, had a passion for dance, and then that passion was just tunnel vision for me, so I knew I just wanted to do that forever, and if that meant making that my job, then that's what it was. Ended up moving to Melbourne, the dance colleges and whatnot, and ended up working in the industry. And when I had my first daughter, I flipped over into media because I was also passionate about TV and started in front of the camera. And it was also just my natural progression because I thought, okay, I'm 30 now. I need to be, you know, put my big girl pants on. I can't be a showgirl forever. And it didn't fit the showgirl costumes anymore. So, yeah, I just started digging some trenches and unfolding that other passion of TV and media. But I had done that my whole life with this ambition. That is great. I think it's really great to be an ambitious person. And I think in creative industries, we have a lot of ambition. But I did the ambition with the wrong heart posture. And I realized that probably about 5 years ago when that ambition took me into a whole wilderness. And I realized that though I'd been building my professional tower and I'd invested so much with this ambition to go, drive, succeed and strive, I had never actually invested time in figuring out who I was as a person. And that was a danger point for me.
So your story really touches on this idea of burnout. And this is something that so many people in the workforce experience, especially a lot of younger people, and women are more prone to it as well. I just want to know, how did you know that you got to that point of, I'm done, I'm at the rock bottom, I need to take a break and slow down?
So when I had my breakdown moment, it wasn't something that I realised, it was something that happened to me. I did a job, it was the straw that broke the camel's back, and all the things that I'd never dealt with, I was forced to deal with them. So I got to that point, it was probably the lowest of my low, and I ended up trying, like, with everything I could reason within me at that stage, I was trying to figure out how can I feel better? How can I really felt quite worthless. I had a lot of my worth and my identity wrapped up in what my role was. And I think in creative industries, when you freelance, those roles can sometimes be great and those roles can sometimes be not so great. And it's very dangerous when your identity is put in, you know, is wrapped up and rooted in a job. And so when that job was gone, I didn't know who I was as a person. And so I then had to start again.
This conversation really resonates with me. I'm someone who struggles with burnout quite a lot. And my word for 2024 was no, to start saying no to things, because I was a yes woman. Yeah. Were you sort of the same as well?
100%. You had to be. So remember the dance industry, and it's different in Australia. We're a small country. I think we forget that when we're in Australia. But in comparison to other countries and other industries, especially creative industries in other countries, we are still in infant stages sometimes. Our dance industry is really small. It's propped up by a music industry that's really unsupported. You know, we've got musicians here in Australia, and we probably have a handful that we can count on our hand that are actually, you know, I don't want to use the word accomplished because we've got so much talent in Australia. But when it comes down to actually creating and being sustained in that creative industry, only a handful really can thrive here in Australia, and the dance industry backs on to that music industry, so we get less again. And then when you're talking media, you're talking about a handful of networks and channels, whereas in other parts of the world, there are heaps and heaps of networks, heaps of musical theatre shows, heaps of music artists. So to bring it back, I think I've completely diverted from what your question is, but I think you had to be a yes person.
Mm.
I had to always say yes to everything because that meant being able to eat.
Mm.
And then again, like wrapping that belief system in, you have to say yes because then you're going to eat and that means you're surviving and that means you're succeeding. It was just all wrong.
Mm.
I had built my worth, my identity, what I valued about myself and what I valued about the world in a completely dangerous and incorrect way.
So now taking a look forward and finding work where you are honouring your values and it's aligned with who you are, how did you even start that process? Because even for me, someone who loves what they do, I still struggle to go, is who I am aligned with what I do for work? It's a question that pops up all the time.
But the fact that you're even questioning it is actually awesome because I never did.
Mm.
And I think that's probably the key. You're aware that, oh, does this actually line up with who I am as a person? Again, going back to my early days as a performer, and I want to like actually note, I had the best time dancing in the industry. And then when I worked in media as well, I had another really awesome time because you work with fantastic people and it's really colourful and it's vibrant and it's beautiful. But in amongst there, you have to make really wise choices, and those choices have to be rooted in who you are as a person and if they fit the brief for you, not if you fit the brief for everybody else.
Mm.
Yeah, I think it was a really vital time to make sure that I guess when I hit rock bottom, I then had to go, okay, what do I think I am? Who do I think I am? Who do I know that I am? Because if you're at the mercy of what someone says you are, or if that, you know, that business says you are, or if what that experience says you are, then you can't put your value in other people's opinions or in success or failure, because we all know now that actually failure is what rebounding from failure and starting again and trying again actually helps us to evolve and to grow. But in a mindset where it's like, no, you can't show weakness, you can't have failure, you can't, you know, be rejected. It's not actually possible to live in that way. But when they become your goalposts, it also becomes, again, very dangerous.
And on that note, how would you define who you are now and how does that align with your work with Abundance the Movement?
I had to go and start to like myself, and I think that's probably one thing that we say and I don't know if we truly mean it, because it's really about embracing the great parts of who we are as a person and also the shady parts and not discrediting them and, you know, kind of going, oh, I want to hide that part of myself.
Mm.
When we start to do that, and as a performer, as a performer first and foremost, we can do that so easily because we are conditioned that way. You know, I have to be this in this role. So that's what I'm going to be perceived as and that's what I'm going to show up as. But I'm going to discredit the part of me that is actually a little bit insecure in this space, or I'm going to hide it and put it away. So coming to terms with all of those deep parts of myself was a really long journey, an ever-evolving journey, an everyday journey still, to come back and remind myself, hey, it's okay that you stuffed up here. It is okay that, you know, what you just did then is you didn't show up as the best version of yourself for XYZ. I'm a curious person. So the fact that I could go down and go, why did that happen?
Mm.
Like, why do I feel this way? Why am I being treated this way? Why am I treating myself this way? It led to uncovering a whole heap about myself that I hadn't honored and a whole heap of love that I was able to give myself at this point in my life. I just wish I did it earlier.
I think that's the moral of every story. We wish that we got to the ending a lot quicker than we did.
Yeah, right. But it's the process. It's a cake. It gets baked.
Exactly. It is the process along the way. And in that sense, even though you had some downfalls, do you regret any of your journey?
I actually don't. And this is why. Because my daughter's 10. And she saw the process of me falling and becoming. And that makes me emotional because I know that the walk that I walked, she's actually learnt from at a young age.
Yeah.
And so there's a full circle right there. Because where I wish, and there are parts of me that wish, oh gosh, Bessie, I wish you woke up to this so much earlier. I wish you didn't spend so much of your life trying to be that person and trying to be that person, and you knew who you were and the gold that you had within you. Now when I tell that to my daughter, she's already got it. Because she's marinated in my struggle.
Yeah, and that's so powerful. And I think this idea of resilience, especially when it comes to finding out who you are, and especially when it comes into your work life and your career, that's something that you just have to learn, and you can learn through others. And it's great that you can share that story with your daughter.
Yeah, it is great. I'm really glad. And also I'm glad for the next generation that's coming through, because we're, and I don't, you know, really like to throw the word woke around, but we are, like, we're aware because we've got so much information. There's so much information about our brains that is circulating and it's mainstream at the moment. There's so much wellness put in place in industries. But our generation, most likely your generation, you know, a lot of people, you know, in the past 40, 50 years more so, really marinated in a culture and in industries that were unregulated and unsupported, and all of this kind of emotional well-being stuff was just disregarded and hidden. But things have changed now for future generations, because we're getting up and we're speaking about it, and there are examples in place, and there's just an eagerness to learn more about who we are as people like never before, I think. It's exciting.
I always look forward to the day that, you know, Gen Z are the people running companies. Right. I think the entire business landscape will be completely different.
Yes.
Because I think it will come back to what you're talking about, that so many people's like careers will be aligned with their values and who they are. And there is this focus on well-being and mental health and looking after yourself.
Yeah, it's vital, Marissa, because like we know, and I just don't know how we weren't awake to it earlier, but like we know, we are holistic and it's a holistic picture. So when we do our work takes up 80% of our week sometimes, even more.
Mm.
You know, it's hard to just let go of work when you finish at 5 o'clock, and in a media industry you don't finish at 5 o'clock, you don't start at 8 o'clock, and PR's the same, you know, a lot of performance and entertainment, it's just around the clock, because it's relationship building and, you know, it's having to show up. It's needed, it's absolutely needed that we are able to have a whole picture in place when we go and live our lives, because our work takes up so much capacity in our life. It affects our children, it affects our finances. We have to be able to do everything in a holistic way where we're doing it and enjoying it.
I agree. I always say that if you hate your job, you hate your life.
100%.
But then in the same vein, I don't think if you love your job, you love your life, because that's not the whole picture.
No.
But it is such a huge part of it.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. It goes on to affect our life. We have to be aware of ripple effects. And so what do we do when we have a bad day? Because life has an ebb and flow to it. So when we do have a bad day, what are we doing in order to help our mind, to help our heart posture, to help us physically? We know that there's a huge link between emotional baggage and then what's happening physically in our body. We know that there's a huge link between how we feel about other people and if that creates toxic emotions and chemicals inside of our body. Yes, it does.
Mm.
We're not human doings, we're human beings, right? So we have to really nurture that being side. It doesn't matter what industry you're in, whether it is in a legal firm, whether it is in PR, whether it is in entertainment, the being has to come first. And then from there, everything flows out. It's actually what the word abundance means, Marissa.
Well, that's a great little connection, because abundance, the movement, is all about, you know, bringing and finding positivity through dance. What have you learned about yourself doing this venture?
Yeah, well, in the journey that I was healing, so I ended up moving to regional Victoria, moved back home. We decided to have a bit of a country change, and we bought an acre of property, and we thought, yeah, this is going to be great, you know, just start again, which is a mentality that I was in. Oh gosh, that's fallen to crap. Let's start again, that type of thing. And I thought that it was just going to be, okay, put that job away, put media away, and I'm just going to now have a flower shop in the country or something like that. And it didn't happen. But what it did happen was I ended up creating space for myself. And I had space in a really beautiful area where I was able to have greenery and listen to podcasts while I was out pruning roses and doing stuff I'd never done before in my life. And I started to uncover little things that were really helping me mentally, putting things in my ears, listening to the right content, listening to the right music. And then I found myself, I was able to still work in media, and I was working from home at that time a little bit. And when things did get hectic or started to remind me, because you get those little prickly feelings that come up and you're like, oh my gosh, this is just going to be history repeating. I'm going to go through the same trauma again. When those things would come up, I would just instinctively find myself dancing. So I'd either finish work and then hire a studio nearby and I would just get in there and just dance, or I would put music on at home and I dance with the kids again. And choreography was a big thing for me because it wasn't just like dancing for joy. I'd actually wanted to create something. I felt like I wanted to express myself in a way that I knew how, anchored back to my original teaching, was through dance. So I started doing it instinctively, and then I realized there was just so much power in it. It was me being aligned with me again. And then I started sharing it. So I'd be like, oh, I'm doing this. Does anyone else want to join me? So I'd put little messages out there and say, can I create this little concept video with dance with you, and find my friends? And I found community, and I needed it. And then I would share, and then other people would jump on. So it was actually in this process, and though I've only launched Abundance the Movement now, it was actually defining itself over the last 5 years as I was healing. And it was really helping me. And I realized that the secret sauce, I guess, the special recipe was that everything in abundance is everything I am.
Yeah.
There's not one bit of it that I'm hiding. There's not one bit of it that's pretend. It's just me in the world. And I love that for the first time ever, nearly 40 years old.
No, but it's so amazing you found that place, because so many people will never get there. No, like, you know what I mean?
So sad.
Age has nothing to do with it. They'll just never find that point.
I think it's so important though, because I know and I believe that we get one life. I know there are theories and stuff out there and, you know, that's great. But my personal belief is that we get one life.
Mm.
And that life is not promised. And in this world, in Australia, as we are today, and yeah, we have challenges and we have things that happen, but really we're quite blessed. And so to be in that space with a life, physically being able to speak and talk and hear and have community, and with all the little things that are really quite big things that we have to be grateful for, why am I not liking myself?
Mm.
Why am I not claiming my real estate in life? Why am I not enjoying life? Or I've got 2 children. I've got this day. I've got this moment today and I'm well. Thank God I'm well. So what am I going to do with it? It was a default, because that's how our brains are wired. They're wired that way to protect us.
Mm.
Little things that happen to us, they really stick in our mind and they can take root in our heart, but they are only there because we're allowing them to be there. We can do the work. We know that there is therapy in place. There are communities. There is prayer. There is meditation. There is physical activity. There is, you know, joy, talking to someone. We just know that there is so many things that you can do in order to get those defaults and create new ways of existing that are more joy-filled and more aligned with who we are. It all comes down to love, though. It comes down to, you know, really loving yourself.
I am sure there would be so many people listening along who are, A, obsessed with your positivity and your light that you have brought this show, but are also thinking, how can I find work that aligns with who I am? If someone's listening and your story is really resonating with them, where should they start?
I think we have got, in society, we've got such a pressure that goes on us to say, what do you do?
Mm.
And I think, and really what abundance is again, it is understanding that what we do and what we have means nothing, and that who we are means everything. Because what we do comes and goes. What we have, it comes and goes. But who we are is precious, because from there, again, everything flows out. If we are so focused on what we do, we'll put all of our ambition, attention, and value on this one thing that, as we saw during COVID, can leave us really quickly. And then where are we? Where's our fullness? How full are we in those moments? So, yeah, I think that it's just so important that we're able to really hone in first on who we are, and then not have to worry about making a job on that. You just be you in the world.
Mm.
You, someone, what are your values? Defining those values is really important. A value for me is family. I really value my family. So why am I taking work that's taking me further and further and further away from them? Why am I choosing jobs that is making me take so much time away from them just to fill my bank account? There's something out of whack there. Surely I can find work that allows me to be able to raise my children and be there for them when they need me. Or, you know, it just taking it right back, stripping it back as a person and going, what is it that floats your boat? What do you need in your life to exist that really is anchored to your heart. What are the things that you like? And then you start to, like you said, say no to certain things and start saying yes to certain things because you know that it's going to bring you a fulfilled life. And then if your job, I don't necessarily think our job needs to fulfill us, but I think we do need to like where we work and the people that we work with. And, you know, in media industries and creative industries, we're really blessed. And I think that's probably why I hung on for so long, because I really enjoyed working with creative people. But I did realize as well that I was creating something that wasn't aligned necessarily with who I am as a person, and that I really have a passion to help people, because I felt so free once I helped myself. That's one of my core values. And if my job can't give me that, if I'm spending less than 40% of my time doing that, then I need to make more of it. And so that's why I was able to find something that, you know, aligned, where I could know who I am and show up from there. One of my values as well is being creative. I really value creating things, especially pioneering new things. That's one of the things I can't hide, because even when I was working in media, I was always doing little side projects. I love this idea. I want to make this. There's nothing like this in the world. I'm going to make it. I can't run from that stuff. It's going to always follow you. So I think for anyone out there that's listening, and it's probably a long-winded way of saying it, show up in the world based on who you know you are. And that's going back into the little girl version of ourself or the little boy version of ourself and going, what did this child like? What was it in this person that sparked their little heart? And then what is important now in your life? Like, do you have a family? Do you need friends? Like, are you someone that wants to have adventure? Are you someone that needs to have a positive outlook in life? If they are all things that are vital, start cultivating them. Start creating them, just like the garden out in Gippsland that I was in. You've got to start digging the soil a little bit and start making it a part of your life. Or else that room that you've got in that garden bed of yours, it will get filled by whatever seed gets in there.
Bessie, it has been such a pleasure talking to you today. And there is just so many little tidbits that I'm sure our listeners will be able to take out of today's chat. And being able to find work that fills them up with as much joy as you are radiating right now. So thank you. But before we go, we have five quick fire questions.
Okay, go.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. What is your go-to news source?
My go-to news source? Well, would podcast be a news source? I can't answer this question. I really can't.
I've put you on the spot here.
I don't know. I definitely not the news. I'll tell you what, my news source is not the news.
That's a great answer. Now, must have item in your bag?
Unfortunately, it's my phone.
Heel or sneaker?
A sneaker, 100%.
I'm with you.
I've got them on right now.
Instagram or TikTok?
Insta.
And lastly, what is your favourite thing to do outside of work?
Be with my family.
Loved that. Thank you so much, Bessie.
Oh, thank you, Marissa. This is beautiful. Thank you for the opportunity to share.
Thanks for listening to The Press Office with Kate Co-PR. If you learnt something new today, then all we ask in return is for you to subscribe and follow this podcast wherever you're hearing this. Reach out to us. All our details are in the show notes below.